John's epistle. John's first epistle. Chapter 2. Verse 14. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, nor the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Shall we turn to Epistle to the Philippians? Chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, it follows together of me, and not them that walk so as ye have us for an example. The many of whom I told you often, now tell you even weeping, that the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, whence for us we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Change our vile bodies, or our bodies of humiliation, that it may be fashioned into his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Just a verse in the second chapter of Revelation. So Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation to come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Beloved brethren, we've been engaged with very precious things this week. Things concerning Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the greatness of the Godhead. When we think of these things, think what we are, tiny creatures, that God has made these things known to us, how wonderful it is. All the mercy and the grace of God, that he would reveal precious thoughts to us concerning himself, concerning the Father and Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. And how we've enjoyed these precious things together, how they've come home to us in power. All those I trust have been very much struck with the greatness of these things which we were able to. Tiny creatures. Just think of it. Tiny creature in this world, able to, through the grace of God, through the revelation, his precious word, the power of the Holy Spirit, to go back in a past eternity and see God's thoughts towards us. Look forward to coming to eternity and see what God's purpose for us are. Here we are in the midst of it all. As far as God is concerned, his thoughts of wondrous love have been made known to us. He has made every provision for us, the same as he provided for the children of Israel through the wilderness. So he has provided for us everything. There's not one good thing which he has promised, he has not give us everything for our Christian pathway here in this world. As far as we're concerned, we realize our weakness, our failure. And the word has come home to us very much. The word spoken of our blessed Lord Jesus in John chapter 13. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So we've been occupied with these precious things, things of God. On the other hand, we've been occupied with the awfulness of the counterfeit, the trinity of evil. Beloved brethren, these things are put before us. We're going to set our affection upon. Therefore, I read these verses here. It's the young men, to those that are strong. We know very well in that wonderful chapter, the fathers have known him, our blessed Lord, known him from the beginning of his pathway here. There's no exhortation to them. How many of us reach that? How many of us can say we're strong and the word of God dwells in us? But there's exhortation to such. It says, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We've been speaking about the love of God, haven't we? Here is the love of the Father. There's the two things. This world, the love of the Father. Well, the intimate term, the Father, that we heard about this afternoon, speaks about intimacy, relationship. We're brought into relationship with sons, children of God, as we heard at the other time. We should live in the dignity and the power and the blessing of these things. But why are these things in the precious word of God? Why? Because there's a danger. Because it's a danger. Love, not the world. Oh, how dangerous these things are, this world. You say, what's wrong with the world? Well, what's wrong with it? We see if you go on. Neither things that are in the world. That comes rather closer still, doesn't it? And it says, because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what's wrong with the world. It's opposed to the Father. For all that is in the world, this is the all that's in the world, it carries the whole range, doesn't it? Lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. Aren't these things, don't they characterize us in many ways? In all ways, I suppose, really. These things are the product of the flesh, of course, and the world. The lust of the flesh is the lust of having, the lust of the eyes, the lust of seeing, the pride of life, the lust of being. We like to be something, we like to have something, and we like to see things. Eyes that satisfy the seeing, the ear of hearing, all these things of the world. It's not of the Father, it's not of the Father, it's of the world. You know, the flesh is set against the spirit against the flesh, and the Father and the world opposite one to another. The love of the Father, oh beloved brethren, what do we think of it? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son in wondrous love to such as us, to bring us into the blessed, we might not perish. We might have eternal life, as our brother Frank's been talking about, eternal life. We might have these things. Having the present possession of all eternity, life in all its fullness, Life is reality. Life. And it says very plainly here, and the world passeth away. Oh, beloved, everything is passing away. It's passing. It's not permanent. It's only temporary. What are you setting our affection upon? He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Or is it that it's eternal? We're born into eternal sphere. We're tiny creatures. We're mortal bodies. We have this heard in our reading. We have a treasure. Treasure in our mortal bodies. And what a treasure we have. Oh, how great a treasure. An earth of vessels. The excellency of the palm that with God and not of us. We have this treasure. And we've got that which is eternal. Abide forever. What are we going for? We spoke about earthly things, didn't we? We mind earthly things. Shall we just turn to that for a moment? That very challenging verse. I don't want to keep you long, brethren. In Philippians. The apostle, he was speaking how he was pressing towards the mark for calling on high of Christ Jesus. He got the wonderful object before him. And then he said, brethren, he follows together with me. And mark that walk as ye have us for example. And then he speaks about in this parenthetical two verses. And these, of course, we would say wouldn't apply to any here. None that are Christians. It only applies to them at all, these two verses. It says, end is destruction, God is their belly, glory their shame, mine earthly things. No, I don't think it applies to any of that. But, why doesn't it apply to us? Things about it can characterize us, and that we can set our affections on these things. We can have these things very much to the fore very often. We aren't very careful. So we speak of earthly things. We spoke of the world, things in the world, and the earthly things. And we spoke about those in Revelation who dwellers upon the earth. Yes, God's judgment is coming upon them. Earth dwellers. This is where they are. This is where their home is. Oh, we're only pilgrims, beloved, but passing through it. There's something far, far more, far brighter. Brighter. We sing those words, don't we? Oh, worldly pomp and glory, your charm is spread in vain. I've heard a sweeter story, I found it true again. Beloved, we've got this wonderful game before us. Why do we trouble ourselves with these things down here? We know we have to do our business. We have to live in this world. But we're not of this world. Where our affections set. Set not your affections on things above, the scripture says, and not upon things on this earth. For you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. So we set our affections in our heart. We should set these things upon the things above, not down here. We're only passing through. Some of us will have much longer anyway to live upon this earth. We'll soon be with the Lord. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. If not, the fallen, he might come and take us to be with himself. I think the days of which we're living, the coming of the Lord is very near. We see, I think, moving around us so rapidly, as our brother Michael was telling us the other day, how near we are to the coming of our blessed Lord, how we should be on the tiptoe of expectancy for him. Just think that tomorrow, even before we leave this meeting, shall we say, we could be caught up to be with him. How this bright hope shall be with us continually. What did it say? For our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, we don't belong here. Why? We look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So change our bodies of humiliation. These earthen vessels can be changed, fashioned into his glorious body. Oh, how wonderful. Like Christ, like him, oh, grace supreme. Like him before his face. Like him to see the glory beam unhindered face to face. According to the work of God, he is able to do all things unto himself. According to that working, he's going to do everything. He's put it all at rule and authority. He's going to reign. And the same power is going to change these glorious bodies. You know, I was thinking There's five musts, to me, significant, which has come to my mind. We know the three in John chapter 3, don't we? You must be born again. We trust that everyone here has been born again. Everyone trusts the Saviour. The other one is, of course, the Son of Man must be lifted up. It's essential. And then, of course, Father Arnie said, John Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. And then, of course, there's another very significant must. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruptible. It must change this glorious body. There's one more, of course, in Revelation, to the last chapter. I read the last chapter, verse 6. And he said unto me, these saying of faith and true, the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the thing which must shortly be done. Yes, these things that we read about when this earth is going to pass through this terrible time of tribulation, after the saints of God will be with him, and then the Lord is going to reign, and his kingdom will be set up. And then, of course, there's going to be a new eternal state. These things must shortly be done. They're essential. And these bodies of corruption must be raised like his glorious body. Oh, beloved brethren, what this set of effects upon us. Young people here, the world had nothing new to give. We sometimes think it had no fresh, no pure delight. What has this world got to it for us? We know there's a hankering after these things around us. We know we've got that in us which appeal to the world. But we've got also, everyone that belongs to him, we've got the Holy Spirit. We've got that a new nature. It's the precious things of God. And what we've had this week can appeal to us. Let us go into that which is lasting, that which is abiding, that which is real, that which is everlasting and precious, that which comes from the heart of God himself in wondrous love through the precious, blessed, precious Saviour. The work that he has done, and the power of the Holy Spirit made good in our souls. May God bless his word. Amen.